master, but a member of the aristocracy. "Here he is," said Alfred, unabashed, looking out of the window. "He's just drove up in a cab." Lord Spratte walked up the steps and rang the bell. Though Ponsonby had seen him two or three times a week for 10 years, he gave no sign of recognition. "Am I expected to luncheon today, Ponsonby?"
"Yes, my lord."
Lord Spratte was middle-aged, of fresh complexion notwithstanding his grey hair, and his manner was quick and breezy. He carried his years and the increasing girth which accompanied them with a graceful light-heartedness, and was apt to flatter himself that with the light behind he might still pass for 35. He had neither the wish nor the intention to grow old. But the man of 50, seeking to make the most of himself, must use many careful adjustments. Not for him are the loose, ill-fitting clothes that become a stripling of 18. His tailor needs a world of skill to counteract the slackening of muscle and to minimize the excess of avoirdupois. On his toilet table are numerous pots and jars and bottles, and each is a device to persuade himself that the troublesome years are not marching on. He takes more care of his hands than a professional beauty. Above all, his hair is a source of anxiety. Lord Spratte, by many experiments, had learnt exactly how to dress it, so that no unbecoming baldness was displayed. But he never seized a brush and comb without thinking, like Achilles stalking melancholy through the fields of death, that he would much sooner be a crossing sweeper of 15 than a peer of the realm at 50. "Do you insist on leading me upstairs like a ewe lamb, Ponsonby?" he asked. The butler's face outlined the merest shadow of a smile as, silently, he preceded Lord Spratte to the drawing-room. For nothing in the world would he have omitted the customary ceremonies of polite society. "Lord Spratte," he announced. The guest advanced and saw his sister Sophia, his brother Theodore, his nephew and his niece. Lady Sophia, a handsome and self-assured woman of 55, the eldest of the family, put aside her book and rose to kiss him. Canon Spratte extended two fingers. "Good heavens, have you invited me to a family party? Than which, I venture to think, there can be nothing more charming, nothing more beautiful, and nothing more entertaining," replied the canon gaily. "Theodore is cultivating domesticity," retorted the peer, with a look at his younger brother. "I believe he wants to be made a bishop." "You take nothing seriously, Thomas. It is a failing of which I cannot but recommend you to correct yourself." "Stow it, Theodore," replied the other, unmoved. Theodore Spratte, vicar of St. Gregory's, South Kensington, and canon of Tercanbury, was the youngest son of the first Earl Spratte, Lord Chancellor of England. He was a handsome man, tall and erect, and his presence was commanding. His comely looks had been to him through life a source of abiding pleasure. He preserved the slenderness, the brisk carriage of youth, and though but little younger than his brother, his fair hair, turning now to grey, remained profuse and curling. His fine blue eyes looked out upon the world with a happy self-confidence, and his mobile, shapely mouth was ever ready to break into a smile. The heartiness of his laughter sufficed to make all and sundry his particular friends. It was pleasant to meet a man who was so clean and fresh, always so admirably dressed, and whose appearance was so prepossessing. But he was nowhere more imposing than in the pulpit, for he wore his cassock and surplice, his scarlet hood, with a reassuring dash which convinced you that here was a pilot in whom you need not hesitate to set your trust. He had a certain gift for oratory. His voice was resonant and well modulated. The charm of his active personality was such that though in those flowing periods and that wealth of metaphor, amid these sounding forcible adjectives, the matter of his discourse often escaped you, you felt, notwithstanding, exhilarated and content. If his sermons redounded to his own honour rather than to the honour of God, it was not Canon Spratte who suffered. When he was left a widower with two young children, his sister Sophia, who had remained unmarried, came to live with him. In course of time Lionel, his son, grew up, entered the church, and became his curate. His daughter Winnie was 21, and in her fragile, delicate way as pretty as a shepherdess of Dresden china. She had all the charm of innocence, and such knowledge of the world as three seasons in London